What's poppin', OTL family? It's the OTL boys back in the building, Jay Wall and Young.
Hey, Patty, your boy. Hey, Tribe or Die, baby. All day.
Yee. Back at it.
Been a long time.
Dude, it's been a hot minute.
But we here, though. Out here doing things. Usually, if you don't hear from somebody for a while, they get their head down grinding, so.
Yeah. All respect, you know. Wasn't sweating it, and when it needs to happen, it happens, and it just so happened today.
Facts. Down here in Renton. Oh, this is deep, dog.
Yeah, you in the south side.
In the hood. where it all goes down. What's cracking?
Dude, nothing. Enjoying a Friday, you know what I mean? Head down to Portland in a bit after this, and after some Zoom calls, and celebrate a buddy's birthday, and then go play some pew-pew.
Hashtag stay weird.
Yeah, man. Dude, try to dodge the riots and not get myself caught in the purge.
It's hard out here in these streets.
What about you, man? I know you've been grinding, too.
No, same thing. Always something busy. Friday. So it's days when you have, like, a couple hours of free time. You're like, yeah, you know, it's just a relaxed Friday. It's just, you know, when the rest of the week is, like, bang, bang, bang every single day. It's like when you have a couple hours. I'll take a nice little drive down to
Yeah, it's like, wait, I got a couple hours to wait. Hold on. Let me fill that up real fast.
we can't have that. We can't just be sitting around.
Jasmine tells me that all the time. She's like, you can just sit there, right? And I was like, no, I can't. Or just fucking sleep when I'm dead. Yeah. When I'm dead.
I just don't, when people say that they're bored, I don't understand. I can't remember the last time I was bored.
Is that your rant? Are we doing rant and raves? Oh, dang.
I'm on the team, man. I just have too many things that I like to do, want to do, need to do, that boredom is like.
You are, you know, my first reaction is that emoji with the line as the mouth. When someone says that they're bored, I'm not amused.
Zip it.
I'm just not amused.
Zip it up.
I would kill to be bored.
Bruh. Yes, that is very true. But then again, that's not really in the DNA.
I lie. I would not kill to be bored. I hate to be bored.
I apologize. Well, OTL's been out there going hard, bro. Instagram's been blowing up with jerseys and workouts and the whole thing. So,
trying, man. Shout out to Dizana. Hey, I might as well plug it now. We got a hot drop coming next Friday. Huge drop. We got all kinds of jerseys, tech shirts, pants. There's some duffel bags, microfibers, sticker sheets. All kinds of shit dropping.
All of
it. Hey, things are picking up traction. It's dope, dude. So that's been going. The training's been growing, man. You know, hashtag grow OTL. That's it.
Hashtag show your teeth.
we've been coming hot with that. So it's really cool to see and be sitting here doing a podcast from where we all started to where we're at now. You know what I mean? So,
yes.
Yeah, it's been really cool.
Yeah, and I was excited when we started talking about the newsletter stuff just to get more contact, you know, just beyond products and programs to, you know, just talk to people on another level of, you know, stuff that really does have to do with mental health, you know, and how we look at life, how we approach life, how do we deal with life. And, you know, there's always a rhyme and reason to success, you know, and a lot of that comes from what goes on upstairs and the people you have around you. So the more we can encourage and bless people with tools and tricks, the better.
And I think that is, we always, you and I both need to always kind of be humbled and show humility of where we came from. And that's where it came from. You know, it wasn't just that we wanted to do clothing or, you know, training or anything like our grassroots are basically, you know, mental health, yes. Really. And getting people out of their funks, out of their trenches, and walk alongside them. Like we've preached this before, and see them grow as individuals into the image that we know that they can be, you know? And if I can just shout that back to you, for the listeners that don't know, we trying to step up our email game. I mean, we There are some things that we are very adolescent in here in, and the emails are one of them. So approached Jeremy to we wanted to do these mindset over limits emails weekly, and so we collaborated, and I didn't tell you, but I've been getting a lot of good feedback.
Oh, good.
Yeah, like a lot. Obviously, they can track, you know, the analytics of everything like that, and I think we're up to almost like 70% people have kind of checked it out.
Hey, I like it.
People have been reaching
out. It may be in your promotional folder in your email, just so you know.
Wait, what?
The people are listening, the email.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, yeah. So we have been sending out emails. If you haven't gotten it, it should be in junk mail or promotional. Yes. But
it's not where it belongs.
There's
I know
nothing
that.
Junk about it. That's for sure. But I've been getting some good feedback, and I love them. So it's exactly what we needed. And
if you guys, want to get those emails, you can hit us up on Instagram or email us. Just then we can get you on the list.
Yes.
Because you need the nuggets.
And that will be another thing, updating our website and everything like that, so that we can just do a mailing list from there, you know? So, you know, baby steps, though. We are men of many hats, so we are juggling many things at one time. So
we're pretty much models, you know what I'm saying? Just keep the hats on rotation.
Abs like Abercrombie Fitch, bro.
Facts. Some days more than others. But the
not after a full Little Caesars, tell you what, I got rid of those boxes real fast before you came
real
over,
quick. It's amazing how that happens. Wow, your place is so clean, dude. And your fridge is only organic vegetables. What?
I did a conditioning day with the Seawolves, and I had a full Little Caesars pizza last night.
Sometimes you need that carb load before you go throw down, though.
It wanted to say hi today. Wanted to come back up and say what's up to the boys.
There's prairie dog in both ways.
Several times. I had to.
You're like, pepperoni?
I had to collect myself several times during that workout.
I know how that goes. I know it's funny. A while ago, I was training a buddy of mine and one of my best friends. Actually, shout out to Micah. He's going to listen to this. But I was like, hey, come through. We're going to have some basketball runs and, you know, come get some shots up. So he shows up, and that day we started off with just some like light conditioning and some band work. I was like, hey, Micah, just hop in the band work with us. And you know when it's like when you're going there prepared to like just kind of be chill, and then all of a sudden you find yourself like deep into like conditioning. And if you've ever been on the band, like the heavy band, doing cardio sprints and slides, he had to go say hello to the porcelain throne, and I'm sorry, Micah. Apologize. Hey. But it does escalate on you.
Those
quickly.
Are like big FUs to your CNS system real fast. When your mindset is like, oh, yeah, I'm going to shoot some hoops, like chill out with the boys. And then you're just like, oh, psych. Let me ramp you up 0 to 100.
Oh, hell no.
Real fast. Your CNS hates you.
it really is like that. And I'm bad at like just I remember being at the gym and random people like, hey, Jeremy, hop in the workout. And I'm like, well, I did just eat a whole fat lunch of Chipotle bowl. And they're like, what are we doing? You're like, oh, it doesn't matter. Just hop in, you know. And they get on, and it's like full send air assault bike and kettlebell swings and sprints. And
yeah,
like,
but you know what makes them even madder?
It's when you fucking still smash on them. And you still like, what's wrong? I thought I was the one with the full stomach.
Did I do this right?
So disrespectful. So disrespectful. Hey, you got to get them where you can, though. You got to know your wheelhouse. Know what you can do on the drop of a hat. But going back to something that you said, I had an idea. When you're talking about, like, kind of the grassroots. Honestly, it started just with growth. You know, when you recognize in something that you need to grow in or want to grow in, you see somebody else who has it. And I'm not trying to dump off the deep end, but this is an idea that I've had a lot lately, is that you can't be anything that you have not seen or heard. So a lot of the times, like, when people are in your life that are better than you at something, you know, there is like this jealousy that comes up, you know, and jealousy can go both ways. Jealousy can be like, you know, either you talk trash, you know, because whether you're insecure about something that they do better than you, or you just kind of shy away from them.
Or you just don't like them. You know, I think we've all had somebody in our life that we didn't like, but they were just like better at us, better than us at what we like to do the most. And so there can be like a really negative connotation, and we actually tend to shy away from people who are better than us. We all know somebody who like surrounds themselves with people who are less than, you know, so they, one, they feel like the big dog, two, they feeling constantly look up to. But it's also an insecurity, because when you get around somebody who's better, you're forced to change. You know, you're confronted with your a falling short of something that's, you know, that's out there for you. And so I had this idea that you can't become something that you haven't seen or heard. And so instead of jealousy, sometimes people that come into our lives are actually there, even sometimes even for just a moment or for a season, to show you what's available to you. Does that make sense? So whether they're, you know, whether they do something better than you, it doesn't matter if it's a sport or if it's a job or, you know, relationships, you're able to actually see what something looks like acted out. And I think sometimes, I mean, I think that's how our friendship was based, because, you know, it really was just from work, just watching you work, and you're like, all right, he's got the juice, you know. Or if you ever read the book Living with a Seal by Jesse Itzler with David Goggins, the race when David Goggins was running the 100-mile race himself, and Jesse Itzler was running it with his team. And so he ended up asking David Goggins to come live with them. He's like, hey, you got the sauce. Like, whatever made you psychopath, go do that. Like, I need whatever that is. And instead of being like, this guy's a weirdo, this guy's a freak, this guy, you know, he was drawn to it, because like when your mind is after growth, like you will chase down anything that's better than you and like basically put yourself at the feet of that person and say like, hey, teach me. And I think what's interesting with that is like we have this false idea that when we go to somebody and we ask them for, you know, to show you a move or to show a form or a lift or just anything about life, that we present ourselves as weaker, right? Mm-hmm. But really, like, if you think about the times that this happened in your life, if I come to you and I'm like, hey, Patty, like, I see you do that really well. Like, can you show me it? Like, very little of the amount of times that happens are you like, oh, my God, this guy.
Yeah, I would definitely laugh at you and called you a nerd.
I believe it. But you would feel more confident, you know, not only in yourself, but that somebody's actually noticed that you are good at that because you've worked on it, you know. And more often than not, you're willing to help because that person's like humbled themselves and they're willing to say, work.
Don't take away that opportunity for that person to give you a gift that they have cultivated.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, and you can go on, but I was just thinking that that is a great opportunity for both people.
Yeah. And I think that, I mean, in those moments, I mean, so many relationships can be built, you know, because I mean, we've talked about it in the podcast. I think you need somebody that does what you do better than you, somebody who does it close to equally as you, and somebody around you that is trying to be as good as you are. You know, because it does create that constant tension of where we need to be in our life relationally to remember that we do have something to offer, something that we need to work on what we have currently, and that there's somebody who else who needs what we have to offer. And I think really that can completely change a dynamic, you know, of a relationship, of a team, you know, because, I mean, you know, from, you know, your paintball team, everybody on there has their strengths and weaknesses, you know, and if the culture changed to, you know, instead of doubling down on yourself, be like, no, I got the juice. Like, imagine if you just went around to everybody around you and was like, hey, teach me that, like, one little thing that I saw you do that made the difference in your gun skills or way you see the field or, you know, and how much better that makes you as an individual, you know? And I think not only physically, like, in your skill set, it makes you better, but also relationally, you know, you're constantly investing. Whether you think about it or not, you're investing in the people around you because you're telling them that they have value. And so I think in the way of like a bank, so to speak, you know, we respond a lot better to people who have invested in us and seen our value and told us they believe in us and noticed the things that we've been working on. that when we go to withdraw, be like, you know, keep a 100 with them, tell them like, this is not okay. They're like, oh, okay. Like, he knows me well enough to know that I should probably listen to what he says when it's the other direction. Okay. But yeah, I just think if we view the greatness around us in that way and appreciate them, as opposed to feeling like we have to hold up our own resume in order to have value, our identity changes a lot, you know, where you're not having, and I'm not saying that you don't compete. It's actually the exact opposite. The people around you can only be better by having great people around you, and they're being better by you being better, and that constant sharpening that you compete more when I'm better.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about plenty of times the phrase, you're only scared of what's, you know, the people around you if you're not confident in what you're putting on the table.
Yeah.
But when you're confident in what you're putting on the table, you're willing to take feedback, you're willing to give feedback, because you have confidence in the amount of work, pure work and preparation that you do.
Yeah. So let me, if I can just stop you, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm trying to follow through. But from what I first heard too was, so like growth, right? And I was thinking about growth. And then I instantly thought of trauma. And that was because you were talking about experiences, right? And so much of our perceptions are just shaped by past experiences. Totally. That's just how we live, absolutely, right? I mean, everything that we reference is to something that we've experienced.
Mm.
So if we're looking, or if we're hungry for growth, and like I find it all the time, it's like I'm hungry for these areas of my life to grow, and I know that I haven't experienced some certain parts of these. And it's not that it makes me frustrated, but it's just that I already know that I don't know what that looks like or feels like, right? Totally. And then as you were going, I was thinking, and you brought in Seattle Thunder. So like, let's take this season, and before we started to sit down, I was telling you how well our boys are doing, and right, we're sitting in fifth place, you know, and that, like, people are going to say, like, we don't belong in fifth place. On the contrary, I think that we have done the hard work to do that. But you talk about experiences. In Seattle Thunder history, we haven't maintained a ranking of that high before. But now we are getting that experience, and we're seeing what it seems like in that arena, right? And we go back to our old promo video. It's like, not until the curtains have been lifted that, right, you feel like it's not as it appears.
Yes.
And so we're only gaining that confidence that you were talking about because we are in that arena right now, getting that experience. And like, I wouldn't know, one, that we could get back there. Like, yes, we achieved it, but we needed to get back there. And we've done that back-to-back events now. But now that I've gotten my two feet down and looked around, like, I'm dangerous when I can touch down and then look around and adapt. And I think you know that. It's totally, like, when I came to Seattle, I was in that zone, you know, or I was, like, observing and, like, studying shit. And then when it's time for me to do the grind, dude, I'll fucking go. And so, like, now that I'm touching those levels of success and stuff like that and taking a look around, like, yeah, I don't think nobody wants me up there. I'll get it. You know what I mean?
Well, especially when you get aimed in with your energy, like, you're a problem.
Yes.
You know?
I think
that's the vision point, you know. Like you said, like when you touch down, you find your bearings and then you actually like lock in on a target, like you're a problem to deal with, you know? Because of the grit, because of the belief, you know, in the self, and there are those past experiences that do mold it. And I think that's it's one of the reasons why I like Extreme Ownership by Jocko, because they present a principle. It's the book. If you guys haven't read that, I highly suggest it. But they present the principle, and then they give you a life and death situation in war of when this played out. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's catastrophic. And then from there, they give you like a relationship version of what that principle looks like in real life and what it looks like in business. Because like what you said, we don't have those experiences. Like, we may know the principle, but we don't necessarily know how to walk it out in our life, you know? And that's one of the things that's one of my greatest, something that I just really detest is the word just, you know, we oversimplify how much
it takes to change something,
mm.
to change direction, to change our minds, change our walks, you know? And, you know, it's like, well, you just have to eat better. You just have to think differently. It's like, have you ever just like...
Heavy emphasis on just.
Yes. So it's as if you just like wake up one day and just it just clicks. And now you eat like, you know, a saint and your thought processes are so positive. It just doesn't happen that way. You know, it has to be built. And so that's the thing that is so valuable. I honestly think it's a reason why you're so successful in this training that you've built is because you're in the trenches.
Constantly.
You understand. Constantly. It's built around the application. It's a direct application to the art.
Yes.
So, and we all know those moments, you know, it doesn't matter what the sport is, but I think for most trainers, you try to get your trainees to do movements that they don't necessarily know they're applying, and all of a sudden they're in a game situation, they do something, and they're like, oh, snap, that's why I did that.
Oh, yeah, you get it all the time. It's like, how is this paintball specific? Because I think a lot of people think about, like, paintball specific. Well, you're going to have your gun, and you're doing something, and, you know, you're I don't know what they think. Like, you're with your paintball gun in the gym to make it, like, black and white. Okay, that's paintball specific. You know what I mean? But, like... No, you break that down into our six functional movement patterns. And then how does that translate onto the field? And sorry to cut you off, but that's exactly, that's that little click or that little like light bulb going off in the head. It's like, oh, I feel so much better on the field because we're moving. That's why I think the mobility portion of the programs resonates so much with people. It's because it's they're not doing that. Like, you know, your basic static stretches and stuff like that. But, you know, to dive into mobility, people are on the field like, oh, my God, I feel like a brand new player. And, like, but that's the stuff that's the golden nuggets. Mm. You know what I mean?
Well, I think that's where trust is built. The more they do it, the more that stuff applies. They trust you because they know that stuff directly correlates because you're constantly playing.
Yo, can I just hold up? Fucking shout out to the OTL athletes, man. This season, we've had two of my long-standing OTL athletes bump up to the pro division.
Let's go, dog.
Hey, Grayson Gladstone and Scott Stewart. Shout out to the homies right there.
Grayson is... He's OTL. He's an OTL OG.
OG.
He might be more consistent on social media. Like my phone every day is pinging. It's like Grayson. I'm like, I don't even know who Grayson is, but the boy's snapping right now.
He's a G. I'm so proud of these guys, right? And then Ben Cunningham, who's also another longstanding athlete. They just won their first event in semi-pro last event.
Wow, so, that's awesome.
And he was being a stud out there, too. He was not just riding the bench and letting the team win. He was fucking getting those kills up in the front.
Hey.
He was doing work, and it just gives me chicken skin, man, because I love to see that. So shout out to the OTL athletes out there.
That's what it's all about. No, I think that's it all goes together. You know, we talked so much about you can't separate the mental, the emotional, the physical. I mean, it all goes together. And I think for the athletes, you know, to one, feel value that there's something that you've built specifically for them, you know, it means a lot, but also that you understand the other aspects as well, you know, and, you know, we've talked multiple times on this podcast about the phone calls and meetings that you have that go beyond.
It's flashing me back, dude. What's
happening. Yeah. You know, what happens on the field, you know, people are successful on the field because of what happens off.
Yes.
And
big facts.
And I'm honestly proud of you for how much work that you've put in. I honestly don't even think the athletes know how much work you've put in order to give them something of this much value. And you really have, I mean, for those of you who listen, Patty has freaking poured out his life into this. And it honestly just like being able to watch, it's super inspiring because you took something that was, you know, nothing and a dollar and a dream. Honestly, from the time you moved here, it's like a dollar and a dream. You were not where you wanted to be, you know? And you're a testament to crafting your life. Like nobody's coming to bail you out. Nobody's coming to save you. Nobody's coming to give you a handout. You are an OTL dog and you've grinded and you've scrapped and you've done whatever it takes to get to this place, all while becoming a better and a better player
and I think a better and better man along the way. And it's, well, I mean, you deserve a lot of credit.
Let me pause there, and I appreciate that. Like, yes, like, I'll own it too. Fuck, I've been fucking grinding, man. There is no ifs, ands, or buts around it. But I do appreciate the acknowledgement. But let's also go back to our original discussion about growth and not seeing the vision. But then I think the other part of it is just execution and action, right? You know what I mean? And like, I did not have this vision of what OTL was. It just all, and we've known that this has all just happened like organically, and we literally have winged the entire fucking thing. Like, let's not play. Like,
it's some big wings. Let's not get it twisted.
It is just a product of hard work. But like, if there was no roadmap, there has been no roadmap. But I really wanted to cue in of just the people that we surround ourselves with. Mm. And that goes back to what you were talking about, right? About having someone above, right beside you, and then right below. I heard that first from you, but it has literally been like a commandment in my life. You know what I mean? And I'm always pulling people in because I want what they have. Yes. You know what I mean? And I've learned that from my recovery, right? They say, like, they're cutthroat. And they're like, if you want to be a winner, then hang out with the winners.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And so I always am pulling people in to steal from them. I'll be straight up. Like, I'm going to fucking take your shit, and then I'm going to fucking do it better. Like, and that's just the attitude that you need to have. And, like, and I wanted to just touch on, like, if someone is there, like, a stick in the mud, or they're just kind of stagnant and can't find growth, well, then go have experiences.
Yes.
You need to get out of your comfort zone and experience something, so that way you spark creativity. You expand your plate out that much more. You know what I mean? And so it's like, if you're ever in that spot, go do something. You know what I mean? And then you should also check the people that you surround yourself with, because that could be holding you back as well. So now I appreciate it, and OTL, you know, and we say this all the time, OTL wouldn't be anybody without all the love and support that we have from community, you know. And I think that that has held volumes with people that have been a part of us for so long.
Well, it's definitely turned heads. I know that.
Hey, man, like I always say, we out here, bro. We fucking out here.
Well, and I think it's evident, you know, in lives. When people's lives start to shift, there's always signs and evidence, you know, of the fruit that comes out of the work, you know. And sometimes the fruit is the last thing to show up on the tree that you've, you know, you planted, and you've been grinding, you've been watering, and you've been, you know, tilling the soil of. And sometimes you don't get the harvest, you don't get to clean up the harvest until the very end, you know. But you start to see people walk differently, think differently, you know, in their life. And you, it's very evident when you walk into somebody who has been growing, you know, they have a different countenance upon them. And I think that there's a couple of core beliefs that, you know, I think are really powerful. And one that are two that in the last, just the last season, that have been big for me. One is that there's no rules. Like, so much of our life is just stuff that's arbitrary. Somebody made it up, a construct, a rule, like, you need to have kids by this time, you need to have this job, you need to have the house like this, you need to do X, Y, and Z, you know. And it's all arbitrary. It's made up by somebody else as the rules that they've created for their life. That doesn't mean it's the same rules that you need for yours. You do not need your life to look identical to someone else's to feel value. Like, if you're looking for the value in that, you're missing the point. And You have to look at your life and look at your, not just your skills, but the things that you were created to do, the people that you were created to reach, the power that you were created to release. And you need to put yourself in a place where that is what you are doing on a daily basis. And it's evident when people are not doing that. And like you're talking about people, it's rampant, the people who just feel stuck. You know, and it's honestly, it devastates me to the point where, like, I will do whatever it takes in my life to help people get out of that place, because it's the biggest lie that I think humanity believes, is that you're stuck. And whether it's moms that have kids and all of a sudden it's like, well, now I got to give up my dreams, and now it's like my life is over. And there's
there's just so many lies that we believe that you put yourself in a box. You know, there's a scripture, it's in 1 Corinthians, but it talks about like your life is not small, but you're living it in a small way. Mm. And that like gave me chills to my bone. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we didn't fence you in. You built a fence around yourself, you know, and we all do that from time to time. Some people live there. Mm-hmm. Other times we have days where we feel fenced in, and sometimes we just got to kick it down Sparta style and get off the leash. That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
But your life is not small, but you're living in a small way because of your belief system. So you have to get around people who think differently than you, which is why this time that we're in America is so dangerous, because we're surrounding ourselves with people who think exactly like us.
Ooh.
You have to change the script. Like, you have to find value in someone that's different. You know, unity is actually the celebration of diversity. It means I find value in you and you find value in me regardless of if they line up, you know? Yeah. And so something we talked about earlier with those experiences is that when we talk on these, like, these random topics and we go in circles arguing about right and wrong and who's right and who's wrong, and but we never get down to the experiences that actually built the beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where the power is. So when you talk, because when you're talking about a belief and you're talking about these topics, there's a lifetime of experiences that have led that person to believe what they believe. So when you're coming in and you're telling them that they're wrong and that they're ignorant, you're telling them that who they are is wrong, that their experiences do not matter, right? But if we have to actually go deeper and have the experience, have the conversation that starts with the idea of what experiences did you have that led you to the place where this is now your belief? Because we can actually have a conversation at that point. Because yeah. I have to understand where you're coming from, not just where you're at now. And so that idea of no rules, like, you have to have people around you that believe differently than you. You know, it doesn't mean they have completely different principles, but they have different life experiences to provide perspective, and perspective is a heck of a drug. Number two, besides there's no rules, is that everything is figureoutable. You're never stuck. You can always figure it out. And I'm a go-with-the-flow person. Like, I like to just scrap and just figure it out as we go. And there's a lot of people who are planned life people. Like, they got a plan, and it's time to execute. And there's always time for a plan. It's important to plan. Let's not get it twisted. But I've always, like, looked for the balance on the other side, being that, like, I find value in being able to maneuver on the fly. You know, stuff comes up and it's like you shift and you're like, we don't panic, we pivot. It's just who we are. And I heard this guy and he talked about living a prepared life where you've thought through all the scenarios. Like, you've imagined what could happen. And we talked about that in sports when you're like imagining stuff happening on the field and what am I going to do? And it's big in baseball. Like, the ball comes to me, where am I going with the rock? Am I going to first base? Am I turning two? Am I going home? Am I checking? Like, all of these things come into play. And so I think just from my life with sports, I've found value in the prepared life. Like, I feel proud and confident enough in my preparation and my ability to maneuver that I don't always need a set plan, where, you know, the people with like the plan goes awry and they're like, oh my God, life is over. I don't even want to go anymore. Like, if it's not the way that I want it, I just need to throw the towel in. And you're like, dude, there's more to life, you know? And so those two rules, there is no rules. Number one, and two, everything is figureoutable. It allows us to interact with life in a different way, you know? And like, to your point, when you were...
It's like play.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's like play. It's like you're at a level of acceptance that whatever is going to throw your way, I mean, you're going to have your hands to do something about.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And sorry to cut you off, but I was just, yeah.
I need to be cut off every once in a while.
No, you had me going, man. I was triggered there for about halfway through your thing, too. I fucking hit the red zone. I had to come back, bro. You said something. I was all fucking, it launched me off for a second. I had to come at it. I had to breathe.
Launch in 3, 2, 1.
I didn't want to get too lost, but...
We do need to get lost in it, because there is a righteousness that we have to fight for
in the fact that if you can't, it's a devastating place to only find value in the thing that looks like you. Like, you are missing so much of what is there for you. And I can't, man, I honestly wish that I could give people like a movie to watch of my life and the experiences that I've had with people who look nothing like me, do nothing like me. And just the power that comes from their life and experiences that is, you know, it's life changing. You know, it brings perspective, it brings humility, and it makes you grateful. I mean, all of those things, and I'm sure you can testify to that as well, but it's just devastating to me that people are so sight-minded, like they want to be right so bad that they'll cast connection aside.
Yes. Yes, dude. And I'm staying silent through all of this because this hits very close to home, you know, and I won't dive into it, but it just makes me shake my head.
Dive in.
No, I won't. There's a time and place, and I ain't going to fucking put nobody on blast on a podcast.
You heard it here first, OTL. I tried, okay? I tried to get,
yeah, I tried to no, get I got to go iron in. Box, bro. Fucking iron box on that.
Chop that up and send it on the social media.
And no, what you're talking about is very real, and I just have to shake my head because it is disheartening to see things going on right now that I think just with our mindset and like where we come from and how open we are with people and genuinely wanting good for other people. I think there's a lot of people that just talk the talk, but they secretly deep down are little villains and don't want people to fucking succeed and stuff like that. But when we're embodied with that in mind of success for everybody, and we just operate on different levels. And so when you see that, you can't really do anything except shake your head, you know, because I'm not even going to rise to the level of talking about it. You know what I mean? But no, I just, it struck a chord and it just, I'm just waiting for it to stop, bro.
I think that's what I'm doing. To your point with relationships, like you said, people talk a lot. I would say it's like the Judas spirit. Like people want the closeness and relationship without any commitment. You know, like relationships effing cost you something.
Mm-hmm.
It costs you, you know, time, energy, motion, like all of it, all the above, constantly. And a lot of people are unwilling to pay the price, you know, but they're also the same people. I'm going to go on a little rant because I don't care. there's people who are constantly looking around and they're wondering why they have no close relationships, but they're unwilling to do any of the work. To go out of their way, it's like, well, he won't hit me back, so I'm not going to chase him, you know? You want the friend that chases you. Like, you want the person who shows up for you when it's time to move and you need to call somebody, or, like, when you need to go get picked up and taken to the airport and you're, like, looking at your phone list, like, oh, who can I get to take me? It's like, when you put in the work, when you're invested, when you go above and beyond, it's not even about the leverage. You just know that you have people around you at the drop of a dime that would do anything for you. Because you've paid the price for the relationship, you know? And there's a difference between covenant and contract relationship. Contract says, like, I'm only going to give this if I get that. Covenant says, I'm giving everything that I have to you, trusting that you're going to give it in return, you know? And the thing with that is, when you live that way, you have the ability to take your love and that relationship somewhere else. You don't have to stay. So if that person is, like, neglecting and it's not cracking, like, and they're just flat out disrespectful in the way that they interact with you, you can take your relationship somewhere else. You can be friends with somebody else. You don't have to stay. But in order to actually get that relationship, you have to be invested. You know, not when that first person, the first time that person falls short and you're like, all right, well, screw it, on to the next one. And I lose patience for people who are unwilling to do the work. Because the work that people do when you do go above and beyond, like, it doesn't make sense. It's like, well, you're wasting time. Why are you giving them money? Why are you, you know, showing up to their sporting event? Because it matters. It matters when you show up. And it's super powerful for me. And I know this is going to strike a chord with you, but when you're in your lowest time, you will always have a deep love for the people who saw something for your life that it made no sense for them to be able to see. You know, when you are at the lowest of low and you have nowhere to go, and those people say, like, hey, I got a place for you. Come stay on my couch. I'll take care of you. One. Two, it's like, bro, I see you have so much more for your life, and I'm not willing to let you sabotage. I'm going to meet you there, and I'm going to carry you through. I'm going to keep hold you accountable. I'm going to meet your needs. Like, that's so powerful that it's such a shame that some people don't get to experience what that feels like. Mm. Because that, like, it's such a strong chord for me in that way, because I know for, you know, when I lost my vision, it's like my whole life was gone. Like, everything I had worked for was gone. But, like, I lost sight, but I gained vision, you know, because I was so locked in and like, the things that, like, right in front of my face that I, like, had lost vision of, like, what actually mattered to me. And when you actually change that, in the way of, like, you stop worrying about all the ticky-tack things in life because there's bigger issues at stake. And I think that's where we kind of stay. It's, you know, the phrase, you show me a man's problems and I'll show you his vision. And mm-hmm. people around you just have this ticky-tack things that they're just getting stressed over every tiny little thing. And you're like, dude, you need vision. That's just what you need. You need some bigger problems to figure out. But I think it's just... And I don't know what the answer is to help people find value in things that they previously didn't, but I think that's what people like me and you for, is that, like we said before, you can't be anything that you haven't seen or heard. And so being able to see somebody who really does care mm-hmm. when it doesn't make sense to care, you know, that's that they're showing that is possible, and the power that has in it, and the amount that, you know, well, maybe a moment can change someone's life forever, that somebody saw a value in them.
Well, I think one thing that I've learned and have carried with me is that, one, there's, you can't help everybody, right? Two, I'm not going to work harder at something than you, like that in terms of like your goals. Yes. You know what I mean? So if someone isn't willing to change or anything like that, then I'm going to just, what we've talked about, pivot. Fuck it. All right. Well, I'm going to go give that energy towards someone that is wanting it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And it's just like the, you know, one, being aware of the relationships and the energy that people are bringing into your life, but then also that relationship that also leaves as well, and the empty void that has gone with it as well. I think that's kind of also shitty, yes. to be lack of better words. But
it's okay to feel all the emotions.
Can we? Yeah, let's switch gears on this one.
Yeah, I'm with it. Like, let's pump the brakes. So with the, we'll go back to paintball.
Okay.
So with the season being halfway through, and obviously you guys are in a nice spot that, you know, like you said, some people may not think that you will remain there. What do you think has been the biggest factor to this point to really get that locked in for you compared to times past?
So Thunder's at a good spot right now. Even through 2018, the two events in 2019, like, we have been on the cusp of what we call, like, a consistent Sunday team. So Sunday is, like, where you play the quarterfinals and the semis and the finals and stuff like that. And so we have been on the cusp of that for, I feel like, a greater part of a season and a half. So it's not like a huge surprise that we are staying consistent now. It's just those small little things that needed to be adjusted. And I think that's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. I think we have a team full of killers, man. I have confidence in every single one of our guys. And everybody now is just in a good place to be pulling their own weight. And so, like, we have times to shine. It's not just one person, you know, trying to make things happen. Everybody has had their little times to shine. And those are just the little things that add up that punch our ticket to Sunday. And we just happened to do that two events in a row. And so going back to, and I don't even think we've scratched the surface still, you know what I mean? Like, like we're still like, that's the thing. It's like, not a lot has changed. And these are the results from it. And we know that we can be better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I mean, talking about like mental health and stuff like this, since this has kind of been the main thread, I'll add it in. But this last event was really challenging for me. I feel like this was the hardest event in terms of my mental health. And it was just hard for me not to be present, because I was present and I wanted to play, but it was taking so much energy for me to even get to that position.
Oh, I see.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's not how it should be. And I just felt like I didn't play a great event, and this was still the results that we had. And like I said, it's not just one person, but of course I hold myself to my own standards, and I feel like I didn't play a great event, but we still were successful. And so I'm very excited to see when things, as we progress and things start to fire on all cylinders. I mean, I think it's going to be dangerous, but to go back, like, things have been, it was just very busy from the first event to the second event, with me starting my new position at Vigor, you know, just taking on more responsibilities. That hit the day after I got back from the first event. And then, so this whole, that whole gap in between was me doing an adjustment period. And then things, like I told you, things in the back end were happening as well. So it's like, by the time Philly came around, that's where our last event was in Philly. I was mentally drained. And so now, since that has ended, really just trying to take a step back and allow myself to kind of mend and bounce back. So that's kind of where we've been at now. And going on to the future, we have Chicago coming up next. It's been nice because we had most of all the last month, we have all of this month, and then we start the grind for Chicago in September, and then we have Cup again in Florida in November. So we have two more events, so we're halfway through the season, and fucking excited, man.
I bet.
I'm excited to see fucking what we can do.
Why is it that I love whenever I start to ask a question, you're always like, oh God, what's coming?
I know, I'm looking at you like, what?
Why is it that the announcers for your guys' tournaments like hate on the Thunder so much?
Bro, I love it. I love it. I don't know.
It's like,
but I love
it. It's like
it,
consistent
dude.
Cost of like,
we got, hey, we got
somebody, somebody is jaded.
We like, got some love in this last one, but I don't know what it is, man. It's been like that since I've been on the team.
It's like the promo when they're like they're introducing you as like the Seattle Thunder. They're like, most well known for not being able to get it done. I'm like, I'm like, this is the freaking promo. Like, dear God, who's writing this script?
Oh, I know, man. And then of course to our, you know, to our faces, they love us and they love what we're doing and stuff like that. But then you go back and you hear the commentating and you're like, wait, he was just telling me that we were doing fucking good and we're the homies and stuff like
that's
that.
That's because they know you guys got dogs.
Yeah, for real. Don't make me come at you. No, I don't know, but I love it, dude. I think that just adds to the fucking chip on your shoulder. You know. Sure. I'm all about the chips on my shoulder, dude. I got a ton. So it's like, it keeps me fueled.
Got them Lays.
Keeps me hungry. And I mean, they were blessed. I play paintball for a living, and I freaking created Off the Leash as a way to support that means. You know what I mean? Like, come on now, let's go. Like, can't really complain.
At all. What are you most excited about in your life right now?
Yeah, man. Dude, I was going to ask you this question. All right, but I got another one.
Oh, yeah.
I got one to bounce you back then, motherfucker. I literally had that question.
You know, you just have to stay with the clip loaded.
I was excited for the question that I'm about to ask you. No, I'm just... I'm excited for this drop, man. Like, for real. Not to plug it or anything, but you know me. I love, like, I love working on clothing and, and stuff like that. That's just always been a passion of mine. And so, plus seeing people out there rocking the shit out of it, dude. You know what I mean? Like, that also makes me happy. So I'm super excited. The drop comes out again next Friday. Got a bunch of stuff. DizanaSports.com. It is cold, man. And people always, you got to stop making shit. I was like, dude, but I wear it.
Yes.
I was like, that's the sole, I'm selfish, bro. I'm selfish. I just literally make this stuff just so I can wear it. And I might as well just put it out there for everybody. So you're welcome. I was going to ask you, and I'll bounce that back then, with what is a major barrier in your life right now?
Ooh, a major barrier. That's a good question. Okay, I see you coming strapped. I wasn't expecting that.
Hey.
Major barrier. I don't see any barriers. You know what I'm saying? There's no barriers. I think learning to juggle at an excellent level.
Mm.
I think I get really locked in.
Mm.
Which is like a blessing and a curse, you know? And I think when you have a couple things on your plate, like, you can be really good and really excellent in one, but other things take a hit, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I got some big plates spinning right now. And so just learning balance, time, how to just spend time wiser. But I mean, there's a reason why, you know, the best people in the world are like obsessed with like one thing. And I don't like doing one thing. I like pushing a lot of buttons and just makes me feel alive, 'cause I get to do all the things that I love to do, which is a good thing. But just learn how to juggle and discipline at a greater level. I think that's what requires in this season of life, you know, when you kind of level up and you step into that new place and you're like, oh snap, like what got me here is not getting me where I'm going now. So,
well, I've definitely been in that spot of excelling in one area. And I just keep thinking of, I can't remember where I seen it, but it was like, I'd rather make an inch in each area of my life than a mile in one area. You know what I mean? And so, like, I think that comes down to terms of balance and stuff like that. So it's like, yeah, we focus and we go all steam ahead in one area. But look at all the stuff that we've neglected, and that's relationships, spouses, self-care, you know. And that's usually the stuff that gets hit first. So it's like, yes, and I think me and you are in the same boat like that, because we – like to operate at high frequencies and have so much going on at once. It often gets overwhelming. But then I always have to pull myself back to that. And it's like, okay, I got to take one step at a time in each area before I come back around to that other thing. You know what I mean? At least that's what I try. We fall short all the time, but got to make sure that everything is moving with us, in our road to successes.
I have a tangible tool on that one. And it was challenging for me. I actually haven't implemented it yet. It's pretty fresh, but the guy was a Olympic weightlifter, and he was running into like problems at home and that same thing, juggling. It was a really timely podcast that I listened to, but he said he had a little notepad in his glove box, and he just realized that I can't be the same person at the gym that I am at home, and at home as I am at work. And because it's not like you're changing who you are, but it's a different style of who you are. And so he's like, I would choose your skin wisely. Yeah. And he's like, I would start to resent people around me because of the way that they were interacting with me, like as if they weren't being fair, you know? And so you like come home from work and you're like exhausted, and then your wife's like, hey babe, can you do this? And you're like, give me like 5 seconds, you know? And so he realized it was like basically bleeding all over his life, you know? And so it was just this constant roller coaster. And so he said he started this notepad that he'd keep in his glove box, and he would write it out. And whenever he would pull up to wherever he was going, he would pull out the notepad and he would take 5 minutes, and he would change his schedule so he had the extra 5 minutes there.
to sit down, and he would write the role that he was stepping into and who he was in that role. So he'd like go to the gym, and he's like, you know, I'm an Olympian. I lift heavier than anybody else in the gym. I work harder than everybody else in the gym. I stay hydrated. Like, he wrote out this list. And so he set his intention. So when he walked into that room, he was that person. Mm. And so then when he would get home, he would take the time in the car to take those 5 minutes to change, and he'd pull out the thing and he would write out, like, I'm a husband. I take care of my wife's needs. I'm patient. I'm this, this, and that. So when he walked in the door, he had embodied the person that he was and wanted to be. And that was so powerful to me, because of how I can see that playing out. And there's this phrase that I use a lot in my own life. It says, unspoken expectation equals premeditated resentments. And I'll say it again. Unspoken expectations equals premeditated resentments. Mm. So we're expecting people to like read our minds, and we like get agitated even though they don't even know. So we're like resenting them for something they don't even know that they're doing.
Yes.
And so just like simple, I'm not the greatest communicator. Like, in some areas of my life, I'm great, you know, in other areas I'm really bad, you know? And so just learning the art of simple communication. Like, if I need 5 minutes, I'd be like, walk in, I'm like, hey, babe, I'm like, it's a really hard day. I need like 5 minutes, you know, whether it's, I'm just sitting in the bathroom, just like sitting here, just relaxing. That's nothing, like, you didn't do anything wrong. I just like, I want to be there for the best way that I can. And I just need that time, you know, as opposed to being like, babe, I just got home. God dang. Like, what do you need from me? Mm-hmm, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's actually my fault when she gets upset and that ownership. But I don't know, that's just a tangible tool. Hopefully that's helpful for somebody. But I think even if you don't write it down, it's just taking that time to know what role you're stepping into and then really embodying that over and over again until we are at the place where we are who we think we are and we are who we say we are on a consistent basis.
Yeah, I'm going to have a little notebook now. I'm going to flip it over, and I just need that one page, and all it says is going to say is, I am off the leash.
So stupid.
I'll read it everywhere I go.
Every page.
Going to the grocery store, just fucking causing hell.
Like you wrote it with like a crayon with your fist. And it's like big fat letters.
Write it in blood.
Oh, God. That's escalated quickly. All right, homie. We can wrap this thing up. But with that, where can they find you? Unless you want anything else to add in there.
No. Hey, check me out. Patty Gleason on IG. Patty Gleason on Facebook, also at Off the Leash Lifestyle, IG. Yeah, hit me up if you have any questions.
I like here. I got a little plug.
Yes.
I'm excited.
Yes.
Today was the day I'm actually going to be opening a gym.
Whoop, whoop.
Yeah, I'm super hyped. It's going to be in Sammamish called Hustle House.
Hustle House.
And you can go check it out on Instagram. We just revealed our location today, and we're opening up in the fall. So, right around October, so it's like small group sports performance, but yeah, it's long time in the making, and I'm honestly humbled and super super stoked. But
yes,
you can catch me online, JR_AM_I. Hit us up for that newsletter. We're excited. I think we're gonna start doing more and more stuff with that. Little nuggets of gold and updates for everything OTL.
Yes,
that, my friends, wrapping this thing up. The deal is.
Appreciate you, fam.
Woo! Hey, you know what it is.